أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم رب هذه دعوة تامة وصلة قائمة محمد الفضيلة والوسيلة وبعث القوم فإن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون وقال سيدنا مصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أصدق حديث كتاب الله وخير هدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأن شر أمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد فيقول الله تبارك وتعالى ثم أورثنا الكتاب الذين اصطفيناهم من عبادنا فمنهم ظالم لنفسه ومنهم مقتصد ومنهم سابق بخيرات بإذن الله. Our brothers and sisters in Islam, all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should praise Allah as much as we can. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, At-tahur shatru iman walhamdulillahi tamla'u al-mizan. He says, purity is half of your faith, and alhamdulillahi fills the scales. Wa-subhanallahi walhamdulillahi tamla'an. And subhanallah and alhamdulillah, both, they fill what's in between the heavens and the earth. And we ask Allah for guidance, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of Ahlul Qur'an. Make us of the people of the Qur'an. And that's a distinction that even as Muslims, all Muslims don't have that distinction. People who are attached to the Kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who read it, who study it, who judge by it, who live by it, speak by it, think according to it, they are Ahlullah, the people of God. That's a special people. Allah places a special attachment based upon your attachment to the Quran, the way you're attached to the book, because the book is part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't believe in the Aqidah of Muslims, in our theology, we don't believe that the Quran is created. We think that the Quran and Allah is all the same thing. This is just an extension, not even an extension, but this is just His word. The word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Quran. It's Kalam Allah. One of the issues confronting Muslims today, and maybe it confronted Muslims in other times, is our detachment from the Kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've said this before. I believe very strongly in scriptural study. I believe in that. I believe that Muslims should study scripture. I believe that Muslims should study the Quran. The smartest of scholars used to hold the idea that it was more important for a Muslim to study the Kitab, the book, the Quran, and study the Sunnah to try to understand the mafhum, what was meant by Allah's word what was meant by the Prophet's word, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more than anything else. Nowadays, and this is dangerous, Muslims spend an inordinate amount of time studying not the book itself, but studying other people's opinions about issues of religion. Every time I turn around, somebody's saying, the Sheikh said this, and the Sheikh said that. And there's some benefit in statements and views of the Sheikh, but nothing compares to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's astaqa hadith. It's the most truthful of discourse. And the Quran is the highest possible level of intelligence that a human being is able to ascend to. The psychology, the ideology, the methodology of the Quran is the highest possible level of intelligence that's available to us. And even in the cases if somebody says something that's contradictory to what we understand from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's the right of every Muslim to leave that alone. If I say something as the Imam of the Masjid that contradicts Kitab of Allah, every single person who hears me has the right, it's their right, to discard anything that I say that contradicts the word of God. We're supposed to take the word of God as an inheritance, because it was inherited to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why he says, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَاهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. Allah says, then we have inherited the book to those people on whom we have bestowed our grace from amongst our servants. And he's talking about the Muslimin. The Quran is a divine inheritance, something that God himself has given to humanity and given specifically to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Messenger of Allah specifically gave it to the believers. That's why he said, "Inni taraktu fikum ma in tamassaktum bihima lam tudillu ba'di abada." Kitab Allahi wa sunnati. He says, I'm leaving something with you that if you hold fast to that, you will never go astray after I'm going. And that is the book of Allah and his sunnah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Alif Lam Mim. Allah la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. نزل عليك الكتاب بالحق مصدقا لما بين يديه وأنزل التوراة والإنجيل من قبل هدى للناس وأنزل الفرقان. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Alif Lam Mim. Allah la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum. Allah whom there is no God except Him, the living, the self-subsisting. نزل عليك الكتاب بالحق. He sent down the book in truth. Now, he doesn't say just that he sent down the book. He says that in many verses in the Quran. He says, نزل عليك الكتاب بالحق. We sent down the book in truth. That the book itself, because the Quran is a living document. The book itself has certain inherent properties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in the actual recitation of the Quran. The actual, it's not so much the mushaf, what we hold in our hands, that's called the mushaf. That's what we read from. It's called Mushaf, it's called Mishaf, and it's called Mushaf. All of those are correct in the Arabic language. But the actual recitation itself, what came down to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was, actually has certain qualities. It has certain weight to it. Even though it's a recitation, it actually has physical properties. It has physical weight to it. When the Prophet first started to receive the Quran, you have to understand how it came down. So this is why we take it as an inheritance. That's why you don't let anybody take it away from you. You don't let anyone judge outside of that, except that you say, no, I'm following the Kitab of Allah. Whether it's the Imam, whether it's the Sheikh, whether it's the Ulama, doesn't matter who it is. Because that's our right. That's your birthright. That's your right. Allah's given it to you. Like, I'm giving you the book. This is yours. You have to take ownership of it. Because there's not a lot that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives of himself to someone where they actually have part of it with them. It's other than Kitab Allah. When he gives you Quran, especially when you memorize Quran and you have Quran in your heart, he's giving you something that he gave an Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when it came down, inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadri wa ma adraka ma laylatul qadr. ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر تنزل الملائكة وروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. When the Quran came down, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to Jibreel alayhi salam. He gave it to Jibreel. He gave the Quran, all the verses in the Quran, he gave it to Jibreel alayhi salam, and he commanded Jibreel to descend to the earth with this book and give it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But it was serious stuff. So the first thing that Allah did was to ensure, because the inheritance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give someone, it's not like the inheritance of your parents. It's not like that inheritance. I could die and leave miraf to my children. I could write a wasiya, a will. I want my son to have this. I want my wife to have this. I can write that, and that can be my will. That's my inheritance to them. But somebody could block that inheritance. Somebody could say, I got another will. But that will's not valid. We can't find the will. We can't find the kids. I'm on a tax for the inheritance. They can block that inheritance. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided that he was going to cause to inherit the book of Allah, the believers, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, one of the first things he did was to guard it. Was to secure the package. That's how it went down. That's why he says, inna nahnu nazalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. Verily, we have set down this remembrance, and verily, we have taken the responsibility of guarding it. This is why in 1400 years, no one has been able to extract the Quran from the Muslims. They've been able to take our land, take our life, take our money, take our honor. People have been able to take everything from Muslims during different periods of history. Genghis Khan sacked Baghdad completely. He burnt down Dar al-Hikmah and the great libraries of Baghdad at that time. But yet, with all of his army, he was not able to take away from the believers Kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We still got it. No one can take it. It's your inheritance. So the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did was he guarded the heavens. Because when he gave it to Jibreel, sometimes Jibreel rose by himself. Sometimes Jibreel, alayhi salam, he goes it alone. Because he a bad boy. He knew how to handle his business. But sometimes, because when something's really important to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he sends Jibreel, because if it's important, he's sending Jibreel. That's his chief angel. He entrusted Jibreel with the wahi, with the inspiration of the Quran. But sometimes Allah sends backup angels. Just like in the verse in Surah Al-Tahrim. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ مَوْلَاهُ وَجِبْرِيلُ وَصَالِحُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَعَدَ ذَلِكَ ظَهِيرٌ. He says, verily Allah is his friend, and so is Jibreel, and so are the righteous believers and other angels as backup. So when he sent Jibreel down, he sent 100,000 angels, and they were all in ranks. Angels only travel, when they travel in jama'at, they always travel with an imam, and they always travel in ranks. The way that we line up in the salat is similar to the way that the angels line up. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ instructed us to line up in our prayers the way that the angels, he says, why don't you line up in your prayers the way that the angels line up in their prayers? They fill the first ranks before they start the new ranks. So here's Jibreel alayhi salam, and he's coming down with 100,000 malaika. Now they're all entrusted to see that this wahi reaches Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it's still in its pure form. It's still protected, and it hasn't been adulterated or changed in any form. So one of the things that happened during Laylatul Qadr is there was a lot of celestial activity. There was a lot of shooting stars. There were a lot of things going on in the heavens. And some of those things, when they go on, what's happening is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually carving out a pathway so that none of the shayateen, no demons at all, could even come close to touching the kitab. Because the kitab of Allah is like kryptonite to a demon. Did you know that? The Quran is like kryptonite to a demon. They can't interchange in the same way. The Quran calls angels. When angels come and the word of Allah, it's like who? That's why Allah says, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحَ وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينِ. He says, verily we have beautified the lower heavens with constellations, and we have made it as a stoning for the devil. So here comes Jibreel, Malaika, he has the kitab, they're carving out of space. And even later on, when some of the mushrikeen used to say, man, it was the devils that set down that book. And they were trying to cause problems for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah said, مَا تَنَزْلَتْ بِهِ الشَّيَاطِينَ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُمْ وَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ إن هم أن السمع لمعزولون تنزيل من عزيز الحكيم. He said, the demons did not bring this book down. It's not for them to do so. Like, you ain't qualified. It's not for you. وما يستطيعون and nor were they able. إنهم عن السمع لمعزولون. They were made far away from hearing it. So when the Quran came down to Rasulullah ﷺ, they couldn't even hear it. They were even unaware that it was coming. That's how smooth he put that revelation down. That's how when Allah wanted to inherit something, he doesn't even go through no secondary. He brings it right down. But when the Prophet got it, it was hard. It sent him for a spin. The first verse, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of thy Lord that has created. Khalaq al-insana min alaq. He created mankind from a blood clot. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram. Read because your Lord is most charitable. الذي علم بالقلم. It is he who taught by the pen. You can see he's preparing it. He's like, listen, just let me break it down to you. Because he's breaking it down to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم what's about to occur. الذي علم بالقلم. علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. He taught man that which he knew not. He knew this is going to be a teaching experience and when they give it to you. Now, when the Prophet got that revelation in the beginning, it scared him. Jibreel scared him. Because he saw Jibreel in his full form with 600 wings. And he's bringing Kitabullah. But the thing about it, he didn't even see. You got to understand the nature of the book. The book is so heavy. It's so magnificent. It's so weighty. Jibreel didn't bring the Prophet the whole thing. He parked it in Bayt al-Izza. He brought the Quran down to the Sama al-Dunya, to the lower heaven, and then he didn't just say, okay, here it goes. Because people can't take the Quran all by itself, all the whole shot. There's hardly anything alive that can withstand the Quran, the whole thing all at once. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل رأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. He says, were we to send down this Quran, this is what Allah is saying, if we were to send down this Quran to a jabal, to a mountain, he's just giving his, this is called method, a simile. This is a metaphor. Allah is saying, if we sent down the Quran to a jabal, to a mountain, لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. If we sent it down to a mountain, you would have seen the mountain in fear, shaking from the fear of Allah. So that's why he didn't give it all to the Prophet all at once. He gave it to him a little bit. And then the Prophet, alayhi salatu salam, he went home. And he used to say to his family, because he almost thought that maybe he's trying to get it together because the Quran is serious business. That's why when you live by Quran, when you think by Quran, when you pervert the verses of Quran over everybody else and say, you always end up on the truth. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Those people are upon huda min rabbihim. Suyuti says the word huda here, it means bayan. They're in clarity. You're not unclear if you use Quranic reasoning. Because it cuts through. Because one of the nature of the Quran is that it literally cuts through falsehood. It cuts falsehood like a hot knife cuts through butter. قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقِّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. When the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was in the Kaaba after the Fath Mecca, the conquest of Mecca, he was in the Kaaba and he was one by one breaking the idols. There was 360 idols that were inside of the Kaaba. So he went into the Kaaba and he was breaking the idols one by one. Damn. And he was saying, قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقِّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. He says, say, this is a verse in Quran, the truth has come and falsehood is obliterated. For verily, falsehood was obliterated anyway. This is what the Quran does. It obliterates falsehood. And the Quran itself is impervious. A lot of the Quran has to do with a protective shield. You know, like you got your computer and they have their firewall and you got your antivirus thing. Well, the Quran has all that. It has the antivirus firewall around it. Allah says, لا يأتيه باطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفي. He says, falsehood is unable to approach it either from the front or the back. This is the nature of the book. The book is deep. So when the Prophet got it, he went home and he was saying, Zamiluni, Zamiluni. He got in his bed and got up under the cover. He says, cover me up, cover me up. He was in a cold sweat. Because it was nothing like it. He never heard anything like that. There's nothing on the planet Earth that comes close to the Book of Allah. Nothing at all. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing goes nowhere near close to it. No type of speech. No type of document. Nothing. There's nothing on this planet that comes close to the Word of God. Nothing at all. Nothing. 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 Nobody's word, nobody's book, nobody's sentiment comes close to it. It's the very, very high level of speech. It's the word of the Almighty God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet went home, he said, Zamiluni, Zamiluni, cover me up. So some time passed. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to get himself together. Because he saw the first few verses came down, he was like, whoo, whoo, man. You know. So he had to let him get himself together for a little bit. Then he taught him how to receive the word. This is how heavy the Quran is. It's physically heavy. Uthman ibn Affan said one time he was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet's leg was leaning against Uthman's leg, and some verses of the Quran started to be revealed to him, and the Prophet got so heavy, Uthman ibn Affan said, I thought that his leg was going to break my leg. More than one occasion, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was riding his animal while in the Quran started to be revealed, and the animal actually buckled because it's physically heavy. It's metaphorically heavy, but it's also physically heavy. The Quran is like a tank. It's like a vault. It's like, you know, 30-inch steel. And it's impenetrable. It's impenetrable. So we're dealing with something that's impenetrable, that no one can change. La yubaddilu al-qawlu ladayya. Allah says, my word will never change with me. This is why it's important for Muslims to embrace the book. This is why you should study the book. But Allah said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Ya ayyuhal muzammilu qum al-layla illa qalila نصفه وينقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا إنا سنلقي عليك قولا ثقيلا. He said, oh, you covered one. Because you see the process, Jibril parked the Quran in Bayt al-Izzah. I can't give you the whole thing. I'm just going to give you a few verses. Iqra, start them off. You see, he started them off light. Okay, Iqra. Read. In the name of your Lord who has created. But still that was, whew, the Prophet was like overwhelmed. So he goes home. He's saying to his family, cover me up, cover me up. Allah said, yeah, ayyuhal muzammilu qum al-layla illa qalila. Oh, you covered one. Get up and pray at night, except for a small amount of time. Nisfahu awinqus minhu qalila. Half of it, half of the night. Or take a little bit away from that. Awzid alayhi. Or add to it. ورتل القرآن ترتيلا and read the Quran in measured tones. ترتيل. ترتيل means that you're reading it in a measured, not too fast, not too slow. That's called ترتيل. Sheikh Husri likes to read with ترتيل. فَمَقَاهُمُ اللَّهُ شَرُّ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ وَلَقَاهُمْ نَضْرَةً وَسُرُورًا وَجَزَاهُمْ بِمَا صَبَرُوا جَنَّةً وَحَرِيرًا. That's tarateel. So he said, read it with the tarateel. Then he said, إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا, because we're getting ready to send out to you a very heavy word. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was wajib on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make Salatul Tahajjud, the night prayer, for a full year. To prepare himself for the Quran. That's why we say to students of knowledge, people who really want to study, you want to study and stuff like that, and you want to learn the Quran, pray Tahajjud. If you want to be a student of knowledge, pray Tahajjud. Because Tahajjud prepares you to receive the Kitab. When you receive the Kitab, then Allah causes you to understand the book, the meaning of the book, what His intention is, and that's guidance. Because you can get it, but don't understand it. But the understanding is all, see, it is all a secure package from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet had to prepare himself because the Quran itself is a heavy, heavy word. So for the Muslim, it's important for Muslims, and I really encourage this, and in January we will have a Quran study class in the masjid every week. Even on Sundays, we teach the children Quran. That's what we teach them. I remember we taught them the whole entire Surah Yusuf, alayhi salam. You ask some of the kids about Sayyidina Yusuf, alayhi salam, they'll tell you. Some of the kids are here, they'll ask them questions about what happened to Sayyidina Yusuf. Because in order to be a sincere worshiper, to really be what the Muslim is supposed to be, and this is why, one of the reasons Muslims find themselves in so much error. Because we will argue about the statement of this or that sheikh before we even get to Kitabullah. I think we need to have a hiatus from some of the sayings of the ulama for a minute. I'm not saying anything wrong about or bad about any of the scholars of Islam, but they're not Rasulullah. And when there's strife and turmoil and indecision in the Muslim community, like it is now, even in cases where Muslims fight each other when they come to try to come to the resolution, they're not coming and say, let's look at Kitabullah. They're saying, okay, let's look at UN resolution and let's get the mediator from here. Let's get the special forces from the UN to come and we're going to get so-and-so. We're going to get the tribal Arabs and we're going to try to come to a conclusion without even saying, let's look at Kitabullah. And I just think that's so insane. That makes me upset. When whole nations, entire nations, I can see this. Listen, we're having this big problem in our country, and we're this area, this region, and we're going to let Kitabullah judge. And maybe you might differ in Kitabullah. Okay. But we should go in the right place. Because when a person turns, oh, this is something else. Because the Quran has a lot of properties, right? A lot of properties of the Quran. A lot of unseen properties. For example, Allah says, "إِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا." Allah says, When you recite the Quran, this is Allah saying this. Ja'una bainak, between you, wa bain alladhina la yu'minuna bil akhirah, and between those who do not believe in the hereafter, hijab and mastura, a unseen, a hidden veil. That's how deep Quran is. When you recite the Quran, then a veil goes up. You can't even see the veil. You're reciting Kitabullah and a wall goes up. Between you and anyone who does not believe in the hereafter. What that wall does, what the effect, Allahu A'lam. But it's confirmed in Kitab that there is a wall that goes up. But at the same time, when a person, this is why you have to be attached to the book of Allah. When a person makes a decision to turn away from Kitab, because the Quran is deep, it's a hujja laka aw alayk. The Quran is a hujja. Hujja means proof. That the Quran is a proof. Because the Quran itself bears witness. It testifies. It's a proof. It's a hujja. The Prophet said it's a hujja laka aw alayka. It's a proof either for you or against you. So on a day of judgment, the Quran will testify for some people. Yes, he was with me, and he was with me, and he studied me, he followed me, he loved me, he recited me. And he's going to testify against other people. Yeah, he turned away from me, he disbelieved in me. It bears witness. Some surahs take special care to act on behalf of those who have learned it and memorized it and acted according to it, like Surah Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran. In Sahihain, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said these two surahs, they argue with Allah, they defend you with Allah on your behalf. So what happens when people turn away from Quran, Allah says, وَمَنْ يَعَشُوا عن ذكر الرحمن نقيد له شيطانا وهو له قرين. He says, whoever backs away, turns away from ذكر الرحمن. ذكر here means the Quran. The word of الرحمن means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. نُقَيِّدْ لَهُ شَيْطَانَ وَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينَ. We appoint a special devil for him who becomes his companion. Let me tell you something. Allah is serious about his book and his word. It's serious business. Quran is serious business. That's why when Muslims run around, they want to try to avoid the Kitab Allah, avoid the ruling of the Kitab Allah, avoid going to Allah. They're trying every other way to get help. Oh, help us from over here. Oh, we're having over here. We're having strife. Can you do this for us? Can you call the UN? And this still not coming to solve the problem. And you wonder why. Because the Quran has certain properties, and these properties cannot be mitigated. They're real properties of the book. It's a living document. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man qara'a harfan min al-Qur'ani falahu hasana wal hasanatu bi ashr amthaliha." He said, whoever recites one letter from the Quran, he gets a hasana, he gets a reward, and the reward is 10 times what it's worth, 10 times its value. And then he said, "Wala aqulu," and I'm not saying the alif lam mim is a letter, but alif is a letter, and lam is a letter, and mim is a letter. So a person is reciting Quran, they're judging by Quran, they're acting by Quran. What happens? You have a shield around you, you have a book that's going to bear witness to your defense on the day of judgment. And your thought process becomes pure. Your decisions based upon Kitab become accurate and piercing. It's ala bayina, it's based upon clarity. Notwithstanding the other things. I tell anybody, you got demons in your house, you fussing and fighting with your wife in the house. I'm sure nobody has that problem here, but say somebody have that problem. No, seriously. If you have a turmoil house. When I mean turmoil in the house, you got stuff going on in your house. There's a lot of arguing, fussing, fighting between spouses or children and the adults. You got drug use in your house. You have alcohol in your house. If you have fitna going on in your house, it's very likely that you have demons in your home. There's demons. That's their job. You got demons that every day, what's your job? My job is to cause that divorce over there. I'm working on it till up over there. You got demons that stand outside your house when you come home waiting to go in. What you doing? I'm waiting to go in the house. Because if he go in, he don't mention him of Allah, I'm coming in. And if he sit down and eat and doesn't mention the name of Allah, I'm eating with him and say, "Hey, we know we got a place to stay tonight." That's in Sahih Bukhari. You got demons that stand inside your house waiting for you to come home. So, brothers, have you ever been in a situation where you coming home, you're driving from work, and you're listening to, news talk show or something? I'm just like, mashallah, I'm hungry, tired from work. Everything cool. You have no intention of arguing with your family. No intention of coming and saying, that's not your intention. You come in, I'm going to come home and get me something to eat. Show up, maybe watch the news and, go online, do some Facebook or something, go to bed. But the moment you walk into your house, all of a sudden, something comes over you and you start finding stuff. What's about this? What about that? And now you're arguing. Did that ever happen to anybody? And then you wonder, what the heck happened? Right? Well, let me tell you, just so you know, there are demons that stand at your door. That's their job. They say, he think he's going to have a good night. I'm going to ruin everything. Brother come home, all happy and everything. Next thing you know, they fighting, somebody call 911. Like, what happened? And you don't know what's happening. Well, that's the work of demons. If you want to remove demons from your home, like I said, the Quran is like kryptonite to the demons. So if you recite Surah Al-Baqarah in your house, it's so powerful that every demon in your home has to leave and cannot come back for 7 days. Did you know that? That's in Sahih. The Prophet said, if you recite Surah Al-Baqarah in your home, that all of the jinn, evil jinn in your home, they have to, it's not no choice. It's not like, well, I'm going to just stay over here. No, they have to leave the home and can't come back for 7 days. Let me tell you a secret. That's just not a secret. If you want to do a quick jinn removal, quick extermination, brothers, wallahi, this stuff works. I swear by Allah, it works. I swear to you by Allah, this stuff, what I'm telling you, it works. It works. If you want to do a quick removal, it's not permanent, it only lasts for a certain amount of time, but it's a quick removal. Quick, say stuff going on in the house, everybody arguing, kids, playing, all just getting kind of, your house might be messy. Jinns like messy houses. Demons like mess. They like confusion. They like that kind of stuff. You might have wasted food on the table. They like certain things, they like it. You invite them. So you want to do a quick spot removal? Call the Adhan.
Come on.
You go in your house talking about everybody's all wife arguing, husband, kids fighting in the corner. You hit Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You hit one of them joints. Because when that happens, all the demons in the house, they gotta, they can't take, they can't listen to that. They have to get outside of earshot. That's why it's sooner to call the Adhan with a nice audible voice. And they'll come back, but you get them out to try it at home. They always say don't try stuff at home, but no, try this at home. Stuff going on in the house, fighting and arguing, say y'all just go on it like that. You go stand in the middle of the house, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and watch, everybody's going to quiet down, everybody, because you steal every single jinn, demon that's in earsight of your voice. They all, then you can say, then I suggest you finish, and it makes a lot. Because this is the effect. This is what we have gotten from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the power of the Quran, the power of the revelation. Even bodies, when you die, do you know that the earth does not consume the body of a hafiz of Quran? Someone who's memorized the Quran, when they die, you know, there's some the body dissolves a little, but the earth will not consume the whole body out of respect for Kitabullah. If you teach your son to memorize the Quran, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offers him Shafa'a, the ability to intercede on 10 members of his family. That's in Sahar. This is like the truth of our religion. This is the Quran. It has like ultra benefits. So brothers and sisters, engage yourself with Kitabullah. Even the understanding in English of Kitabullah is better than a lot of things that these scholars are saying. It's just better. They're not doing us justice. But if you follow the book, if you follow the sunnah, you will learn how to navigate through your life. I'm not saying that people should simply read the Quran and make their own personal interpretation without any scholarly understanding. I'm not saying that. The Prophet talked against that. He said, "Man qala fil Qur'an," he said, "Man qala fil Qur'ani bi ra'yihi fatabawwa maq'adahu min an-nar." Whoever speaks about the Quran according to nothing but his own opinion, that he let him prepare for himself a seat in hellfire. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that the Quran, because of its magnificence, because of its strength, because of its bayan, because of its hujjah, because it's the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even when they translate it into English or into French or into Spanish or Bulgarian, no matter how they translate it, if they translate it into Urdu, that the bayan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it still breaks through. It breaks through no matter what, because it is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It cannot be defeated. It can't be shut down. You got to understand, even when he say this is the translation of the meaning, Allah still gives you the understanding of his word. Because he is Allah. And this is your inheritance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow anyone, no one, to take away that which he has inherited to the believer. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب واستغفر الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Our brothers and sisters in Islam, my first advice is to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah says, O you who believe, اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتون إلا وأنتم مسلمون. O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah to the degree that's warranted, and don't die unless you die in a state of submission. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعَدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَحَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ الْأَحْيَاءِ مِنَّا وَالْأَمْوَاتِ وَأَلِّفْ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِنَا وَاجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا الْإِيمَانَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ. وَنُصَلِّي وَنُسَلِّمُ وَنُبَارِكْ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا وَحَبِيبِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ. عِبَادُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ إحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله عظيم يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقيم الصلاة يرحمكم
الله. الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حيدا السلام حيدا الفلاح.